Good morning and shalom. We praise Jesus for giving us an opportunity to hear his word. Today, or this session, we want to look at two elements that can guide us to the rest of God. The last session, we discovered that God has been speaking. And God has promised, and his promise is to give us rest. He promised the Israelites to give them rest. Rest means is to help them. He promised that he work on their behalf. And he said, because they missed the mark through sin, through unbelief, the sin of unbelief, and the sin of doubt. God wants to guide us from where we are lost, from the sin of doubt and the sin of unbelief, and to guide us back to the rest of God. How does God guide us back to his rest? The rest, the Bible says that since the rest of God still stands, let us not fall short of it. It still stand. Joshua did not give the Israelites rest. They refused to enter, and they failed to do that because of the sin of doubt and the sin of unbelief. But that promise still stands. God does not change. God does not lie. He's not a man that he would change his mind. What he said he'll do it. And since his promise still stand, and we are lost in between here through the sin of unbelief, or through and the sin of doubt which we are dealing with, God spoke of another day called today. And every day, God wants to return us back there. And what are the two implements? What are the two elements that can guide us there? Two things. Number one, God will guide us to the rest, or to God's rest, or to our rest, where God is working for us through the word of God. And number two, through the high priest of God. Through the word of God and through the high priest of God. We have been lost from the rest of God. We have fallen short of the rest of God. So how does God use his word, or the word of God? Let's look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." These two verses speaks of the power of the word of God to guide us to the rest of God. And what does he say about the word of God? And what is the word of God? Remember, the book of Hebrews is about God is communicating, God is speaking. And here he speaks through the word. God speaks through his high priests. He speaks through the word, he speaks through the high priest. But how does God speak through the word? What is the word? Because the word of God is Jesus. In the book of John, John says, "And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The beginning was the word, and the word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us." And that word is Jesus Christ. It's Logos of God, is the manifestation of the Word of God. So every time God speaks through His Word, you see many people say, when I was praying at night, God spoke to me and He told me, pray, 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 speak. Yes, but how did God speak to you? Be very careful not just to let us hear you speak these words in a way to help or to make people think that I am more spiritual than other people. Some of the voices or some of the wordings we put this is we want to make people feel that we are more spiritual than all of them, that God speaks to you and not others. God speaks to everyone. But how does God speak? Of course, we discovered in the past He spoke through others, but here He is speaking through the Word. But this Word has got some elements that will change us from, that will be able to attack the power of unbelief. Why? The Word of God is alive and active. Let's look at some of the qualities of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and active. What does it mean? The Word of God is living. The Word of God is a living organism. When the Word is spoken, that Word does not die. Did you know that words don't die? All words, good words and bad words. That's why somebody speaks a word and many years after, that word looks for you, or you look for that word, and the word gets its fulfillment, because the word, once spoken, is released in the heavenlies, and the word is waiting for the opportune time, because the word is like a seed, and that seed is alive. One time, God spoke through the word or the mouth of Joshua after the destruction of Jericho, and through Joshua, God said, the person who builds or rebuilds Jericho will find his firstborn son die when he starts to put the foundation. And when you put the doors, because you have finished that city of Jericho again, your lastborn son will die. Now, those words were spoken many hundreds of years to come. Those words came to fulfillment. So where was that word after it was spoken by Joshua? Where did the word go? It was actually going around in the airwaves, looking for its manifestation. The Bible says that God watches His word to make it fulfilled. God looks after His word to see that that word comes to fruition, comes to fulfillment, because the word is alive. The word does not die. Let's speak the words that will maintain us. So there's only one thing you can do, that word, if you speak a bad word, which is also alive, speak another word that is alive, that is more powerful, a positive word to defeat the first word. So the word is alive. So once we get the word into our lives, it's going to deal with the power of unbelief or mistrust or disobedience. It's active. It's able to work by itself. It doesn't need you. It's like medication. You only need to take it. You only need to receive it. You only need to believe it. You only need to get time and let it get in you. You do not know how it will work, but it's active by itself. How many of us knows how medication works? How many? The doctor tells you, you have pressure, and therefore you need this kind of medication. You need to be taking one pill every morning or per day. But faithfully, you just believe the doctor. You trust the doctor. And you take that pill. How does it work? To lessen the power of pressure? Don't know. All what I know is that the doctor said, let me take it. And that's how this is. So it's active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It's like a sword. It cuts And it cuts on both sides. What does it cut? It penetrates even to divide the soul and the spirit. Sometimes our souls do not believe in God. Sometimes our spirit do believe. Sometimes our souls are struggling. Sometimes Jesus said that you want to do something, but you know your bodies are weak. So this word divides the soul. The soul is the head, and the spirit is the heart. It divides the two. It separates the two of them. It separates the joints and the marrow. This word is able to judge by itself. Once it is there, it makes decision. It judges the thoughts. It's able to look at some of the thoughts in our soul. It judges them. It judges the attitudes of the heart. Now, judging means it's able to make a decision. It's able to condemn some of those attitudes and some of the thoughts in us. Sometimes we have got thoughts to do evil. Sometimes we have got hateful thoughts. We have thoughts of fear, thoughts of shame, attitudes of unbelief, and all that. It's being dealt by the word. So let the word work. And here he says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight, from the word of God, the word that has been released. You see, when God releases the word, there it is. Receive it. Position yourself to receive it. That word is looking for its fulfillment. Let it get fulfilled in us. And everything is uncovered and it is laid bare before the eyes of him we must give an account. One day we shall give an account to that God. So the second tool or the second power that God uses to give us rest by dealing with unbelief is the priest of God, is the high priest of God. And the high priest of God in the best order. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. So, second one is Jesus as the high priest. He is the Son of God, the priest of God. And this Jesus, he has ascended into heaven. He is already in heaven. That is, he resurrected and he has entered into heaven. And he is there in heaven for us. Son of God, let's hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let's not resist it because he is the one speaking on our behalf. The work of the high priest is to stand on our behalf, is to speak in our place, is to act in our place, is to carry. A priest of God would carry the burdens of the people. His clothes had a picture that the priest was to carry the burdens of the people of Israel through his shoulders. There were two stones on each shoulder, onyx stone, and each one of them was written the names of the people that was carrying. That means he was to carry the burden of the people so that you don't carry, you rest. And he would mention them before God. And in his heart, you'd also carry the 12 sons of Israel. Why? So that he mentioned them. He carried their problems. He carried their sins. And so ours is to profess. To profess is to continue speaking, is to continue agreeing with the high priest. And then he says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize for our wickedness. Now, this high priest is very powerful. We still come back to this for the next two chapters. So this high priest, he empathizes with our wickedness. He understands that we are not able to do that. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just like we have. So you see, the good thing with this priest or high priest, he has also gone through the problems we go through. We can trust him because he has been tempted in every way, just as we are, but yet he did not sin. He was not able to sin. He could not sin. This is God. He could not sin. So therefore, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Do you know, when we say that we approach God's throne with confidence, is because those days, It was only the priests alone who would be able to approach the throne of grace, the high priest only. But other people were staying out in the camp, waiting for what the priest would do. But you see, in this new dispensation, this new covenant, we are all invited to approach the throne of grace with confidence. Why? So that we may receive two great things to help us for rest: receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Time of need will come for every one of us. Let's get to know that every day, from where we are, from where we sit, we will get into the time of need. But what can help us is to arm ourselves by getting to the throne of grace, and we shall receive grace. Why receive grace? Receive mercy. Why receive mercy? Receive mercy because it's already there. We don't work for it. And find help. We find grace. Why find grace? It's already put there. So when we do not have mercy and grace, it's not because God does not give us, it's because we have not gone for them. So let's approach there, the word of God and the priest of God. Father, we thank you for the word of God and the priest of God that helps us, that connects us, scaffold us, even to get the help we need, so that we can be able to deal with the problem of unbelief and doubt. And we shall be able to get rest in the time of need. In Jesus' name, amen.